here at the Combine, and now we're pleased to be joined by ESPN's Jeff Legwald. Thank you for taking some time out of your busy day to join us.
It's all good.
The other day we heard John Elway talk about the Peyton Manning situation, said they're going to give him as much time as he needs. We've heard several people give their opinions about it, but how do you think this is going to play out with Brock Osweiler waiting in the wings?
Yeah, as much time as he needs right up until March 9th, I think, is how it's going to go. I mean, there is, you know, a deadline in place. I mean, Broncos have to start free agency on the 9th. If they're trying hard to sign Brock Osweiler. Elway did say Osweiler probably wants to know what Manning's going to do before he would sign a contract with the Broncos. And, you know, John said, you know, that he didn't have an answer for Brock right now. So until they have that answer, I think then they can proceed. But they have been working on the structure of a deal they think would fit for some time. They've talked to Brock's representatives here in recent days. So I think that's where they're at. Once they have the Manning answer, they proceed. But always a chance that a guy or his representatives like Brock's want to hear what other teams have to say when the negotiating period opens on the 7th or so. So all that in play, but Manning decision, and then they have a contract sort of offer proposal in place that they think would be competitive.
How much do you, obviously Peyton Manning is going to be the talk of free agency for the Broncos, but the next biggest domino to fall would then be Von Miller. It sounds like John and Von's side have gotten together and discussed some things, and it seems like there's a great deal of mutual respect between the sides, and they want to get a deal done. How much do you think that's, I guess, it's helped that Von's been here for a couple of years and both sides want to see Von stay in Denver for the long term?
Well, I think everybody knows the number, you know, and it's really big. You know, put 9 digits on a piece of paper, and that's what it's going to look like.
Right.
So, you know, the parameters, there isn't much debate about the parameters. It's now just how much guaranteed money is there, what's the length of the deal, you know, are there any other bonuses in there? But, you know, when I spoke to Von last week, his opinion was the Broncos stuck with him during the suspension, that Elway had stuck with him during the suspension. And that if all things could be the way he wanted, he would want to stick with the Broncos. So, you know, again, you got to hit the number. But if the Broncos hit the number, I think they'll get a deal done. And I still think there's every possibility they can get that done before free agency opens.
Now, Von Miller, like you say, 9-figure price tag. Osweiler won't be cheap. They're talking with Malik Jackson. Getting him back won't be cheap. They obviously need to improve on the offensive side. Elway's point of the offensive line is being a deep position in this year's draft, but how much of that is going to have to come from the parts already on hand, because they're not really going to be able to supplement with any big-ticket free agents if they spend all their cap room to keep their guys?
Mace, I think their plan was not to do much outside their own guys this year. I think that's been their focus. I mean, you're in the building every day. You know, I think that's been their focus. And I think in most years, that's what they would want it to be. I think maybe all of folks took the 2014, you know, spend fest probably to heart. That was a rare thing. I think they see that as an anomaly, that they don't want to do that. Offensive line, very deep. And I thought it was very telling that John Elway said about the offensive line in the draft, that's where I've spent most of my time to this point. So obviously it's on their minds. And it is a deep class. You can get value at tackle and guard well into the second and third day. So I think I will be stunned if they don't use multiple picks on that position early in the first 2 days.
Like we talked to John Elway the other day about his time when he was a player getting ready for the draft, and he accidentally almost like fell into the combine. He didn't even know there was one going on. You've been coming to the combine for a very long time. How have you seen this event change?
Yeah, his dad told him to go home.
Yeah, exactly.
He said, don't stay. Do they will measure you, and they will, you know, Elway's always said I didn't want him to check my knee. That's why, you know, in today's age, you know, day and age, who knows, you know, Elway falling down draft board after medical exam, you know, who knows what it would look like now. But it's very big now, very interesting. I mean, I think there are 1,200 credentialed media this year. I think there were 5 of us the first year I came, so I don't know. That's how it's changed the most. It's on television. There were times when they didn't even want people to talk to the players, let alone put all this on television. So, it, you know, I think they finally discovered that people are interested in this now, and why not throw it out there? Actually, more players work out now, I believe, because it's on television. It's a competitive thing now. Hey, I can show my stuff. Other guys are working out. If you'll always notice, watch when the quarterbacks throw. If the top guys throw, everybody throws. Mm-hmm. And the year when maybe the top one or two guys don't throw, then more guys don't throw. So if you can make it competitive, you get more workouts. And a lot of GMs have always said, if we put it on TV, more guys would work out.
Two of the biggest young guys that the Broncos have been able to pick up in the last couple of years, Bradley Roby and Shane Ray, guys that maybe some teams passed on because there are a couple of red flags. Having been here a couple of days already, do you see, you know, guys like that that the Broncos may take a harder look at that some teams might pass on, guys that, you know, maybe are flying under the radar a little bit?
No, you know, no one flies under the radar at the combine. That's probably the myth that you know, there's a sleeper. If you're at the combine, you're not a sleeper. Everybody knows you. You're one of the top 330 prospects in the draft. You know, what happens is your doctors may disagree with somebody else's doctors. Your coaches know somebody else on a, you know, like Roby, for example. Broncos coaches knew members of the Ohio State coaching staff, and they essentially said, are these red flags real in your mind? And the answer they got was, no, this is a player who needs a little maturity, but he's not a bad guy. He's worth the pick if he's there. And that's, you know, in the end, they had what they felt like was more information than somebody else. And that's what you see. You know, your doctor has a disagreement, or your people know a little more about the guy than maybe other folks did, so you take him a little higher.
And the other thing that comes up, as well as the medical, is, of course, the character part of it. And, the, you know, Kim Dixie and Noah Spence were both speaking to the media today. You know, the Broncos last couple of years have taken guys that did fall because of perceived character concerns, and they've reaped the benefits. They've gotten great value from Bradley Roby and Shane Ray. Even if it's not their need, do you think that if some of those guys fall, that they might look to even move up a few picks to get them if they happen to be there?
Well, I think, you know, not all red flags are created equal. So, you know, if you find out that, it, like Shane Ray, the belief was by a lot of teams, not just the Broncos, that it was a one-time thing, that he was with a buddy, that the marijuana's in the car, it's a bad decision, but he had not had anything before that. It's if they see a pattern. Okay, you may come to the combine and tell everybody, you admit to your one mistake that was public, but if they have information, there are other mistakes before that, then you're in trouble. That's a real red flag. You are going to get pinged for that. And that's what teams try to separate. What's a one-time thing, a mistake, and what's a pattern? Because a pattern is what will impact if a guy can be a legitimate prospect or not, move forward and be the kind of player you want when you take him in the first 2 days of the draft.
Well, Leggy, thank you very much for your insight. I appreciate you joining us. That's ESPN's Jeff Legwald. We'll take a quick break here, and then when we come back, we'll wrap up our live coverage here at the NFL Scouting Combine. Back here at the NFL Scouting Combine at Lucas Oil Stadium in Indianapolis. And, guys, we've had a great week. We've been joined by Gary Kubiak, John Elway, Jeff Legwald, talked to a lot of people. Let's get some final thoughts here as we wrap up our live coverage in Indianapolis.
Well, first of all, I think Indianapolis does a great job hosting this event first and foremost every single year, and our thanks to the great people of Indianapolis. We've had a great time here. I think also we found out a lot about the position groups and where there might be value. You just heard Jeff say that, you know, offensive line into the second and third day, there's going to be plenty of value. I think that's going to dictate a lot. That's going to dictate what the Broncos do to a great degree. But I also think that free agency is going to be huge. I don't think we're going to get a clear picture until after we figure out what's going to happen to Peyton Manning, what's going to happen to Von Miller, and then I think the picture starts to clear a little bit with regards to the Broncos. It's a nice problem to have, to worry about bringing your guys back instead of finding new pieces. So I definitely think free agency this year, more than in years past, is going to dictate what the Broncos do in the draft.
Yeah, free agency, not only who you pick, who you re-sign, but also who you lose, because the Broncos are inevitably going to take some hits. You know, the defensive backs come in here on Saturday. They're going to work out Monday. And if I were a Broncos fan, and I'm covering the Broncos, so I will pay attention, safeties, because they're going to have to fortify the depth of that position. You know, David Bruton Jr. looks like it's a good bet that someone's going to make him a starter somewhere. And look, I mean, you've got Darian Stewart and T.J. Ward. They're not giving up their starting jobs. And Omar Bolden might be coveted in part because he's shown he can play at safety and he can also handle returns. So the Broncos might be completely rebuilding their depth at safety, and they might have to do so in the draft. So it's kind of gone under the radar, but if you're watching the workouts on Monday, pay attention to the safeties. I think you're going to see a future Bronco or two out there.
And the Broncos are also in a position where maybe they could just take the best player who's left on the board and maybe not necessarily in need. But obviously free agency and many more things will determine how it all plays out in the next coming weeks. We'll have plenty of draft coverage in the next 2 months leading you up to this year's draft. But that's going to do it for our live shows here in Indianapolis. Special thanks to Austin Brink here in Indianapolis and all the guys back in the control room in Denver. It takes a lot of people to put this show together, so special thanks to them. But for us here in Indianapolis, Andrew Mason, Matt Boyer, I'm Phil Milani, and that's been Broncos TV Live here in Indianapolis at the 2016 NFL Scouting Combine.